Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Athletes Unfiltered.
Little zone read, and Martinez into the open field. What a move he made in the backfield. Looking for the pylon. He's got a touchdown.
The podcast made by the athlete for the fans.
They fake the pop pass. Martinez under duress, but he can improvise, and improvise he does. What a run. And into the end zone, Adrian Martinez.
Now here are your hosts, Adrian Martinez and Jeff Ekstrom.
Well, hello again. Whether you are cleaning the garage, grocery shopping, whatever else you like to do while listening to podcasts, we welcome you to the second episode, second edition of Athletes Unfiltered. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Ekstrom, and alongside me, as always, Adrian Martinez. Adrian, how's it going, my man?
It's going good, and thankful we can get this second episode off the ground. We've had a little bit of a delay, but it's a great one, and pumped to be here, pumped to be doing it again, and get some new episodes cranked up.
Cameron Juergens, our first ever guest on Athletes Unfiltered, will be coming up in a little bit, but first, we like to talk about the reception of the first episode. I mean, looking at it today, we're approaching 3,500 listens in just a couple of weeks. I think people are pretty excited and they've liked what they've heard.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I was just telling Jeff and a couple other buddies of mine, but I was outside going shopping, met a random person who listened to my podcast, and TJ Maxx, you know, just out of the blue, not just teammates and coaches, but it's all been really positive and a lot to be excited about. And I know it's only going to get better.
Oh, yeah. And I think it kind of just validates the goal that we wanted to do with this podcast and trying to approach, not necessarily, I mean, it's not necessarily new, but I think it's something that hasn't really been touched upon a lot.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that's college athletics and college athletes and being unfiltered.
Of course.
Pun intended. Being unfiltered, but finding a new area to express themselves. And I think this is a great way to do it. And this is a great platform. And we're kind of at the frontier of it. And it is truly exciting. And hopefully we can be the model going forward.
For sure. And, well, speaking of college athletics, something that happened here just recently, Nebraska baseball made a regional, and Fayetteville, facing the number one team in Arkansas, fell short in game 7, 6-2 to end their season. But Adrian, we wanted to talk about them just because of just how good they were this year.
Yeah. And just, I mean, what an incredible season they've had. I don't know officially what their record ended up being, but it was some 30 and something and 12. I mean, Big Ten champs. They go to the number one team in the country and force a game 7 in the Fayetteville regional. Just a lot to be proud of as a Husker and as a community. I mean, they battled their asses off.
Yeah.
Battled their asses off and had some really talented players, made it entertaining, fun. I mean, they never gave up, and you could tell. Even when that first loss to Arkansas, that was tough, but came back the next day, beat the crap out of a team, scored 18 runs or so.
And I mean, that game was like kind of close for the first few innings too.
Yeah, and then they broke away.
Yeah, I mean,
and then they played later that day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Later that day, they had to go play the number one team in the country,
beat them 5-3,
and they won. I mean, just a gutsy performance. And then of course the Big Ten Player of the Year, Spencer Schwellenbach, delivering 4 1/3 inning, I think, mm-hmm. It was. I mean, as a closer, I think that was the most innings he pitched all year and just came in clutch. And what a performance. And, you know, I hate to be this guy, but I have to be. It just pains me that they got put in that regional.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks.
I mean, there's a lot to be proud of. And, you know, they battle their butts off. But, man, It's just tough to see when the Big Ten, Nebraska, didn't get the chance to compete in out-of-conference games, which obviously hurt them in postseason play, because they were ranked in every poll in the top 20. And they got the 32nd overall seed, which is, you know, there's a reason for it. And I would say, in my opinion, and what it seems like to me, is because of those non-conference games weren't played. And when you watch them play and the way they were able to compete against the number one team in the country, wow, who swept the entire SEC, be able to hang with those guys, I think it's fair to say that they deserved probably a better seat.
Yeah, and it's kind of upsetting, too, because I don't think it's just baseball, but even college football and basketball. NCAA likes to go off a lot of the eye test as well. And Nebraska passed that. I mean, you can't sit there and say they aren't a good baseball team.
Yeah, and especially now. You know, you shouldn't have been saying that stuff before, but after what they've proven in postseason play, I think it's pretty evident that they were a damn good baseball team.
They were not the 32nd best team in the country.
And they get the boys fired up. I mean, shoot, the energy they play with is it's special. And I hope they realize it. I know they do. I know they're proud of what they've accomplished this year. They should be. I mean, you know, Jackson Hallmark hitting that homer and stomping on home plate. Oh, yeah. I mean, they weren't scared to play anyone.
No.
They went in there and were guns a-blazing, ready to go, and you got to appreciate them for that.
Yeah, I mean, this team was different than, say, the 2017 Big Ten championship team, and that's no knock on them and the accomplishments they had. It was just, this team was just so unique in its swagger and its not-die attitude and just say, we'll play anyone.
Yeah. You love to see it, and I know I'm not the only one, you're not the only one, that's really excited to see where this program's going to go, despite some of the losses that they're going to have the next year. You know, have some older guys like Joe Acker who are going to go on and play at the next level, move on from Nebraska, who have contributed a ton to the program. So still a lot to be excited about in the direction it's going with Will Bolt and the staff at the helm.
I have a feeling this isn't a peak. This is a launching point.
That's a good way to put it. Like that.
Nebraska baseball, great season, and surely a great future. Coming up, Cameron Jurgens speaking with us. Episode 2 of Athletes Unfiltered. Don't go away. There's plenty up ahead. And now, as we move into the main segment of episode 2 of Athletes Unfiltered, we welcome the most interesting man in the world, Cam Jurgens. Cam, how you doing?
Good. I don't know about it. Very interesting, but
oh yeah, pretty interesting. Yeah, pretty interesting guy. You know, rides what, water skis casually, wrestles bulls. You know, apparently he's a scratch golfer now. You know, I've seen it, but I'll have to see it again soon, see how good he is, if he's just talking smack.
Cam is the man of many firsts. First guest here on Athletes Unfiltered, and was the first freshman, redshirt or true, to start at center for Nebraska. And Cam, thanks for coming along for us on this second episode. I think naturally, we should start with your golf game. You mentioned your golf game. How
it's
good?
The driver. It's the driver.
Adrian,
for him.
How good
is
Cam?
He lets the club do the work. You know, as the phrase goes, and he's a big, strong guy. You just got to make good contact. That driver's going 300. It's easy. He's got the touch. He's a natural athlete, you know.
No doubt. I mean, I play TaylorMade clubs. They're the best out there, the best equipment. So they help me out a little bit. But it's came a long way this summer. I mean, pretty much I think I've gone, like, every day these last couple weeks.
Did you ever end up getting that job?
No.
No, they didn't give it. They didn't give you the job.
We're not talking about.
Okay, so to a golf course that will remain unnamed. Cam wanted to get a job. Wanted to maybe get on the course a couple times. Maybe get a little free golf. Help out around the course. You know, and what'd you send in your application? You know, no job experience. First off, no job experience. Sends in an application like, yeah, can't work during the week, can't work on the weekends, but, like, maybe a couple nights on Tuesday, Thursday, yeah, like, or something like that. Like, come on. Worker at the place is like, yeah, we could get you in for that, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, news to me, They shut you down.
Yeah, show up twice, and then, like, she's like, oh, did so-and-so call? Yeah, I'm like, nope, nope. And she's like, what? Are you serious? She's like, we definitely need more people working here. I'm like, all right, well, still waiting on a call. Month or two later.
All right.
Month or two later, yeah, no callbacks, probably a surefire sign that you're not getting the job. Hate to say
it. It is what it is. I mean, I feel like if I got a job, it's just going to take more time away from golfing, so.
Mm. Yeah, totally. Great mindset. Great mindset. You already got a bunch of football stuff to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's talk about your recruiting process. Let's talk about your commitment to the Huskers and kind of what that timeline looked like for you and what made you pull the trigger.
Well, it was pretty early for me. I got offered the summer going into my sophomore year. Hmm. And then I committed that summer, like, probably a month after the offer, just because, like, growing up in Nebraska, I mean, it's just kind of like a dream come true. Huge fan. And it's just like, it's just kind of in your blood. If you grow up in Nebraska, you're just always a huge fan of all Husker sports. And it's like, I never miss a Saturday. I'm never going to not watch the Huskers play. And so, like, I couldn't imagine myself playing for another uniform. So I think it was kind of a no-brainer. I don't know why I waited. Like, even a month. Like, I think I could have committed on the spot.
You knew what you wanted to do.
And you got to kind of, like, commit to the school, because if you commit to a coaching staff, like, coaching staffs leave, you know, stuff like that. Mm. And I feel like if you commit to the school and to the state, then, like, you're gonna stick around a little longer. It means a little bit more when you're from the area.
That's a really good point you bring up, and that's something I remember hearing in the recruiting process. But it's hard for these young kids to make that type of decision and not base it off the people, you know, within the building. I think we're fortunate enough to have kind of the best of both worlds, and where you have a school that's definitely worth playing for in Nebraska, a lot of tradition and history behind it with a ton of people involved in a great state full of support. But you also have a staff who has deep roots in Nebraska, who cares about the school and who's truly invested in it. But you go other places, and I mean, I was, I don't want to say a victim, but I definitely fell in the trap of, you know, I committed to Tennessee and I loved the staff and what this and that was going to be. And they got fired. And I was like, well, I don't really want to go there anymore. And without even realizing it, you know, I kind of got lucky and Nebraska happened for me and it was great. But so many kids that happens to, where if you go someplace, it's not exactly what you expected. If you love the school and you committed to the school and wanted to be a part of that, then there usually isn't an issue.
Yeah, it's hard to draw the line between committing to the person compared to the institution. And both of you experienced that. And Cam, you committed really early. Mike Riley was head coach. And then later in the recruiting process, he was let go. Tell us how that went and what was your thinking process between that of the coaching changes and still committing to Nebraska.
Yeah. Mike Riley was actually let go on the same time I took my official visit to LSU. It was like during the game day, right after the game, he got let go, and I'm like, well, that's interesting, and I'm on my
visit down
there.
Convenient timing.
Convenient timing. And, I mean, I loved it down at LSU. Like, I really wanted to go there, honestly. But at the end of the day, like, I'm from Nebraska, and that's not going to change, and it just takes a – I don't know. I mean, I was kind of committed to LSU for a little bit. Like, in my head, I was kind of going back and forth. But when Coach Frost and Coach Rude came and visited me, you could just tell it's different for them. You know, it's not just a school. It's the whole state. You know, they want to write this program because it means more to them. You know, they're from Nebraska and they played here. And so now, like, come full circle when they're coaching here, it just matters to them, you know. It's not just a pit stop on the road to a higher job or success. It's like, this is where they want to be the rest of their lives. And I could just tell that, not necessarily what they're saying, but how they're saying it and, you know, how they felt about it and just how they talked. It was just different than just a coach trying to recruit you or give you a pitch.
Yeah, was there any specific phrase or sentence or something he said that kind of set your mind to Nebraska again?
don't know if there's really a phrase or anything, but
you could tell it's genuine what they're saying and the passion in their voices, and there's some truth behind their words, which is something you definitely don't always get in the recruiting process. So you get to Nebraska, you meet a bunch of great guys in the 2018 class, like myself, you know. There's a few of us left. There's a few. But you came in as a tight end. And in high school, you played every position but offensive line.
Yeah, O-line was the only thing I haven't played.
Which
is
so
ironic.
Which is nuts.
Check it off the box.
Yeah, talk about – check it off the box. Just all around. Can do it all. But talk about that transition, probably your initial – maybe disappointment even, but then realization that, man, I could be special at this position, and Coach G and the staff and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I come in here as tight end, and, like, I work my ass off right away to learn the offense, and I'm working with the coaches every day to learn the routes, the schemes and everything, and went through summer, fall camp, and then, like, get into the season. And Coach Frost comes and sets me down after one of the practices. And I had a pretty good practice, but, I mean, had a lot of good blocks at that practice, I would say. And then he just sets me down, and he's, like, asking me some questions. I'm thinking about him, like, oh, shit, like, is he going to ask me to go to D-line or something? Like, what's the deal? I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's do it. And then he goes, like, what does it mean for you to play for Nebraska? Like, what does that mean to you?
Oh, boy, he was setting you up there.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Cam was in trouble.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was headed, and I'm just like, this is weird, a little random. And I'm like, well, you know, like, I just want to make this state proud, you know. I'm like, I'm going to do everything I can for this team, and whatever I can do to help the team the best is where I want to be at. And, like... Because I was thinking in my head, like, all right, maybe I'm going to defense, maybe D-line, outside backer. We'll see. And then it's just like, I want you at center next year, and, like, moving over to O-line. And, like, first thought in my mind is, like, there's no way I can gain this much weight. Like,
you did it.
I mean, I was probably about 250, and I was just thinking, it's like, I don't know if I want to gain up to, like, 290 and weigh that much. So, like, he just said, like, think it over. And then, like, a couple weeks go by, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to cut weight. I dropped down 235.
Eating salads for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I got pretty lean. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, week four or so of the season, I in the morning, Coach Beck's like, hey, Cam, you're in the O-line room this morning for meetings. I'm like, all right, bet.
Made it happen from there.
Yeah. And then probably towards the end of the season, I ended up breaking my foot. So, like, I had a lot of time to – I mean, I just went in, lifted weights every day, drank a lot of protein shakes, and I think I put on, like, 40 pounds in 2 months. So, like, it really doesn't take much time, I guess, when you're putting your effort into it.
But you didn't – so that off season, I mean, you had a little bit of the summer to prep and play for that season, right? I mean, you didn't have a lot of – now that I can remember, you really didn't have a lot of reps.
No.
You probably had a couple weeks' worth of reps. I mean, am I wrong?
Oh, I would say almost like full healthy reps. Like, I feel like half the time I was like
a little
injured
up.
And I was like making that transition. And that's just tough because, like, some people learn visual learners, and then some people like kind of learn by,
on the
like,
job.
On
know?
The job. And I feel like that's kind of how I am. I need to get those actual reps in practice. And I think I had like less than a dozen like full healthy practices before like that first game. So, more or less, like, I was watching practice, getting everything down for the scheme. But when you're just thrown in the fire, some things just go a little faster than what they are, and it just takes time for it to slow down. And I feel like that's kind of how those first few games, partly season, went.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure, which is understandable.
Yeah,
but you adjusted
brutal.
Well and performed well and have come a long way.
Freaking
stud.
We got a lot of room to grow, a lot of time to get better yet, and I'm excited for the future. But, yeah, it's been a long change. A lot of it's a lot of mental at center because we got to be making our calls and we got to get the guys around us.
Yeah, I mean,
knowing
you're learning a whole different piece of the offense, you know, that there's kind of the pass game and, I don't know, the skill position type of stuff. You know, when you're a tight end, you're learning the routes and you're learning some blocking schemes, but the offensive line is like a whole nother language.
You're just focused on the certain side of the tight end is going to be on for that. Mm. Move to center, and all of a sudden you're in charge of four of the guys right there.
Yeah,
for it.
And he's in charge of that, the rest of that unit, pretty much, making sure they're going the right direction and the right calls are being made. I mean, he's the base in that, you know.
Yeah, and it just takes those live reps to slow things down for you, and it slowed down a lot. And a lot of guys just see it, and it's just like, all right, well, the center's got a job. He has to snap the ball. But, I mean, there's a little bit more that comes into it. But no doubt snapping is the first thing you do.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, you've received a fair share of criticism about the snaps. And I know personally that you're working your ass off, get that thing right, and you've already made a ton of improvements. So I know you want to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's just like – that's something that's been bugging me. It's just like, that's the number one thing that needs to be done and needs to be fixed. And it's just like, when I see there's a bad snap, it bugs me. It's not
in
like,
your personal game.
Yeah. It's not like I'm not working to get that better, because I'm working my ass off to fix things and make everything perfect. And that's just something that comes with time. You know, like I've never snapped a football before this last couple of years. So like, just getting those reps in and getting those like live reps is what helps, and it's gotten way better, you know, changing different things here and there, but just mentally being focused and dialed into everything. It's just when there's a lot going on and when things are getting sped up, then like some things can fall on the wayside, like snaps or something like that. But when I'm getting all these reps and things are starting to slow down around me, it's like we're not going to have those problems.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a little bit deeper than people like to kind of think of it as, you know. As a center and in our offense, things can be sped up really on the, you know, flip of a dime. Like, it happens that quick. And we can be going from a slow play to a tempo play, and Cam has to make a call and get these guys set. And, oh, there's a blitzing linebacker off the left edge. And I'm like, let's go, Cam, let's go. We got to snap the ball. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, snap the ball, and Cam's like, oh, I got to pull and go get this guy off the left edge while snapping the ball and worried about this and that. And, I mean, especially as a guy who is learning the position still and figuring it all out, we're getting those reps. He's finally getting those reps of doing all those types of things. And it's not as easy as one may think, you know.
But it's getting fixed, and we're not going to have these problems going forward. I mean,
hell yeah.
I'm tired of hearing my name in the news about it and seeing that shit on Twitter.
We just want to see pancake blocks.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
Let's say, yeah, Cam, how do you deal with all that criticism? I mean, you've had your fair share. How do you try to block that out and just deal with that mentally? Because, I mean, at some point, it gets a little taxing.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian, you know, like...
Yeah, definitely.
Having that criticism all the time on Twitter. I mean, Husker fans are awesome, but there's just a select few that are just ridiculous.
We can talk about that plenty.
Like, we will.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We can talk about that plenty. And, you know, it kind of comes with the territory. And if you're going to love the good, you got to deal with the bad. You know, and that happens, I think, across the country. And, hell, I think winning more will help. And also, we talked about it, I know, last podcast. But that one guy in the comment section, there's that guy in real life. He's not going away. We could go undefeated and win the national championship next year. And mm-hmm. That guy is still going to be there in the comments.
Oh, you didn't beat this team by 3 touchdowns. So, yeah, you know, what are you doing?
There's a negative Nancy everywhere. You know, those people aren't going away, and that's just kind of their worldview. And if they really take a ton of pleasure in coming at kids on Twitter, hey, kudos to you, man. That's what gets you going. Mm-hmm. That's what gets you going. But I'm going to keep playing football.
Yeah, and, like, we just kind of got to take a step back and look like, all right, we're out here playing this game, and these guys are watching us, and they're tweeting at us. Like, where are they? Where are we at? And, like, should we be listening to these guys?
Yeah, should we put value into their opinions? And, I mean, I think that takes maturity, too. You know, it's hard to at first when you come from high school, whatever, you come in, and it's a lot bigger than you think initially. You know, I know we've touched on it, but a lot bigger than you think. You come in, and, like, everyone has an opinion about everything, and you don't necessarily know how to value these things the right way, properly, you know. And I think that's kind of life too, you know. You can, everyone's gonna have something to say, but you get to choose who you're listening to and who you actually value their input. And so that, for us, like Cam, that's our coaches, you know. Maybe that's me for Cam when I'm like, hey bro, get snap over here, you know. Yeah. Whatever. Or Cam's like, be a little louder, need you to do this or that. Like, yeah, we're gonna listen to what we have to say, but, you know, whatever, Joe Schmo Husker 36 on Twitter, it's just about learning, you know?
Yeah, we got to be worried about, like, people on the team, people in our building, and people around us. I mean, you can't go through life thinking, like, oh, I need everybody to love me. I need everybody to respect me. I need everybody to think what I'm doing is right. Because it's not always like that. You're going to have haters with whatever you do.
No doubt. No doubt. And that's, I mean, people are different. You know, like one of my buddies, shout out Brody Belt, but we could bleep this out, but he doesn't give a fuck about what anyone thinks. And it's like, it's great, you know, and it works for him. Then some people, you know, like they care about what everyone thinks. Mm-hmm. And you come to a place like this, you got to just figure that out for yourself. Like, what's that balance for you? Because people are different, you know. Some people just want to be loved, you know, and you got to balance, okay, like all these fans in the stands are going to love me. They're not going to love me 100% of the time, all the time. Like, I got to do right by the guy next to me, by the guys in the building. And that takes, you know, maturity, and that takes time.
Yeah, and I find it interesting, too, because both of you guys were heralded recruits out of your respective high schools. And I bet the criticism was still partly there, but probably not as loud as when you guys arrived here in Lincoln on a bigger stage, and now all those negative voices and criticism became a little louder.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it comes with the territory and it comes with the opportunity. I mean, shoot, it's a great opportunity and a place that is hard to top anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so it's to be expected almost, you know. Let's win some more games. Win some more games and there's more positivity.
Another thing you got to look at is, like, these guys coming at you on Twitter, are they just talking shit on Twitter because they're scared to talk to you in person? You know?
How many times be scared to talk to you?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
how many times has somebody came,
like,
up to
oh,
you?
Okay, never mind.
And then, like if you're shopping at Shields or somewhere in Lincoln, like, have you ever had a bad encounter with a Husker fan? I think I've only had positive and great encounters with fans. It's either, like, a parent coming up here or there, like, hey, we're huge supporters, like, my kids look up to you, you guys are great role models, keep doing your thing. It's just like that's what we see in person, you know? I've never had bad encounters, like, in person with guys. It's always through social media, you know?
Yeah.
But the real fans out there, they're the ones that are out there for you, and they're going to tell you when they see you in person. But, like, the guys are just negative Nancys and just love to talk shit. They're scared, you know? They're little cowards behind their little screens. Like, they're not going to do anything in person, you know?
I'd love to see it, though. If anyone's out there feeling ballsy,
let's say if they have the guts,
go ahead. Take your shot with Cam Jurgs. I just want to be there when it happens.
Well, Cam, as we move forward onto another question that we have for you here. I mean, obviously the quarterback-center relationship is important in any offense across football, college football. But with the type of offense you guys run, with a lot of pre-snap motions and just stuff like that, I mean, it's got to even be more closer between you two in terms of chemistry and getting the timing right. I mean, how important is that?
I mean, it's really important, you know? Like, we got to be on page with everything. You know, if I'm trying to change the protection to a certain way, and then he says, nah, like, we need to have this, and we're going to talk it out on the sideline, and we need to be on the same page, because if we're not, like, the offense is run through Adrian, you know? And, like, if the O-line's not on the same page as the backfield, it's going to be a mess. And I feel like as we've gone through and, like, worked through things, we've both, like, gained a little football knowledge, so we're able to, like, see things a lot easier, and we're able to kind of read defenses and talk, you know, a little more lingo back and forth.
Yeah, definitely. I think a big thing, too, is we've gotten better better at, like, off-the-field communication. And I don't mean, like, at home chilling. I mean, on the sideline when we get back from a possession or whatever and it's a three and out, or say we go down and score, like, hey, you know, go talk to the O-line. Like, either you guys are doing a great job, or, hey, we need you better here. Like, what are you seeing, this and that? Continuing to stay on the same page. And I think that's where Cam and I definitely benefit from, like, our friendship off the field. Because if something, you know, real needs to be said, it'll be said. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that's necessary in our dynamic, necessary, like, in any football kind of relationship or chemistry-wise, like, not afraid to keep each other accountable.
No doubt. And, like, it's not only built, like, on the field, like Adrian is saying. Like, this stuff is built off. I mean, when I showed up in Lincoln, like, just came here, like, we've been boys since day one. Like,
no doubt.
The relationship's just built from there. And
yeah. One time this man, he took me to Beatrice, really Pickerel, you know, just outside of Beatrice. And we're just, me and a couple other buddies, we were at his house. You guys have a farm there, right? It's like a farm.
Yeah.
It's a farm. So we go around on, like, this little, I don't even know what to call it, like, sort of four-wheeler, but not really. Like, he had a couple of them. We were just roaming around.
It's called a Jeep.
A Jeep. Okay. I don't know. It looked a little weird.
It's an older Jeep.
Okay. Super old Jeep. Super old Jeep. Anyways, not the point of the story. What are those, oh, gosh, I shouldn't even be saying this on the air. I sound so not Nebraskan, but big, like, hey, hey, what are they called? Like the
it was
big
a possum.
No, that I'm getting to that.
What are you talking about?
I'm getting to that. I'm talking about the big rolls of hay.
Oh, a hay bale.
Couldn't think of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Hay bale. So, you know, I see him all the time in commercials and stuff, you know, whatever. I've never been out on a farm like that. So I go and try and, like, push this thing. I'm like, holy shit, this is heavy. You know, this is some real shit. Like, I can see why Cam's just built like a freaking tree, you know, like thighs, like a, you know what I'm saying? Dude just built. He must have been pushing things and just lifting a bunch of shit on the farm. All right, move on to the next part of the story. We're just hanging out. All the guys are hanging out, like, no biggie. And we see this, like, weird animal crawl up the tree. We're like, what the hell? So we all, like, go run out. We all, like, run out there. Like, what is that, you know? Just hanging out. All of a sudden, just a big bam. This dude, Cam, shoots the animal out of the tree. Didn't tell anyone what was going on. All just freak out, you know, like, what the hell? This possum-looking thing flies down from the tree. And I was like, man, what? Some Nebraskan shit right here. Cam is that guy, you know, as Nebraska as it gets. You got to love it. And that was from day one. That was, like, freshman year.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's how I was raised on the farm. Like,
I love it. I love it. There's no hate here. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, that's how I was growing up, you know. I did a lot of hunting and fishing as a kid, but, like, I had to help on the farm all the time, whether it was either hauling hay or stacking bales, moving cattle, or, you know, chopping firewood. Like, that was just some of the chores we had to do.
Mm, my chores were, like, picking up the poop and, you know, pulling weeds and taking out the trash.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't really building up my strength there. I feel like that's dual purpose, what all the stuff Cam's doing. It just sounds a lot better than what I was doing, you know?
Yeah, most of my childhood, we didn't even have, like, garbage trucks. We had to go burn our own trash on the phone.
This dude, sob story. Let me get out the little violin for this guy.
He probably didn't even know people on the farm had to do that.
You know, I didn't. That's actually the first time I'm hearing it, so
that's insane.
I'm learning.
You have to burn your own trash.
Yeah. Yeah, the garbage trucks can't be everywhere, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess that's true. It makes sense now that I'm really thinking about it.
Well, how far is Pickerel outside of Beatrice?
Oh, it's not too far, like 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, okay, so you are kind of out there, though.
Nah,
enough.
It's not too bad.
He's out there enough to where the garbage trucks don't go to his house, so he's out there. That's crazy. Good to know. I mean, it's for general knowledge, I guess. Got to love it.
Yes, sir.
I just love the quote. It is what it is. Burning your own trash, shooting possums. Cam Jurgens on Athletes Unfiltered, episode 2. Take a break. Come back. We'll do the mailbag. Some interesting questions coming up. Athletes Unfiltered. Welcome back, Athletes Unfiltered. We are moving into the Cam Jurgens mailbag. We got some good ones. We'll start with, I think it's just most natural to start, with Will Compton. He put in the comments and asked a question to Cam. Ask him, Cam, if he's for the boys, and if so, what's the most important shift he's made to become a better teammate?
I would say without a doubt, I'm for the boys.
For the boys.
I'm a wolf. But I would say being the best teammate I could be and being for the boys is, you know, being there for the guys outside of, you know, football, being there for them outside of just the locker room, you know, and like being a leader for the guys, stepping up and talking. It's not always like, you don't always have to have one tone. It's not always
screaming
and
yelling.
Doesn't
always look the same. Yeah.
You know, doesn't always look people need to, if you're a leader, you need to read a room, you know, you need to be able to know when you need to yell at a guy or you need to pull him aside and talk to him. And I think that's something I've kind of stepped up as being a leader.
So you'd say that's something you've learned throughout this process and being in the position you're in now. I mean, being a center on the football team is as leader as it gets, you know, on the O-line, on the offense, on the team.
There's different ways to lead, you know, and seeing examples of other people and how you should do it and how you shouldn't. There's better ways to do it.
I'm gonna put you on the spot right now. What would you say to me? You know, I need to step up my game. What are you saying to me?
I mean, I think you're doing great, man. I'm a hype you up.
You're right, dude. He's got me figured out.
I'm always hyping you up, dude.
I love
it. If I need to tear you down, I will, but I will hype you up.
Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, our next question from Jake Thomas. If you and Adrian had to switch jobs for a game, who do you think would do a better job? Would Cam be a better quarterback than Adrian would be a center? This one should be fascinating.
Well, I'm just going to put this out here. Adrian did not play center in high school. I did play a little quarterback in high school, so I do have some experience.
Cam's version of quarterback is Tim Tebow.
Wildcat.
With Wildcat.
Tim Tebow won Heisman.
In the NFL without even throwing a football. He's like the Navy quarterback. They don't throw the ball. They run the option, and the dude just runs power. You know, no disrespect to pass Husker option game, but Cam, in our offense, is not playing quarterback. Me, though, I think I could throw on an extra, I don't know, like 80 pounds. I could throw on 80 pounds easy, super casually, and freaking just work my tail off down there. You know, I don't have the best natural blocking skills or natural strength. You know, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I can say I know the offense. I'm a workhorse, and look, I'm going to lead our guys. I'm going to do a great job under center. Or not under center. Shoot, I'm used to that. At center.
I don't know, dude. I feel like I got a little bit of skill. I could catch a ball. I can pass it off. I can run it down the middle. I might not be a pocket passer, but do you have, like, the grit and the nastiness?
Do I have the grit?
Do you have that grit to be a hog
juice
down there? Are you going to be a hog? I don't know.
I'm going to be a hog. I got the hog blood running through me right now. I could do it right now. Right now.
I don't know if I feel the nastiness.
Do you have the finesse to throw the ball down the field in a tight window?
Over the shoulder, corner of the end zone type touchdown pass.
D lineman's outstretched arms are about to get around you. You're about to get hit. Do you have the guts, grit to sit in the pocket and make the throw?
Nah, dude, I have the grit to just pull it and run it and get a first down.
Me too. Sometimes
we'll make it work.
It depends.
Finesse on the throws, not so much. Finesse with a little flop shot on the course, maybe a little more.
Oh, man. What about this next one? We got another one from Thomas Allen. Who would eat the most Big Macs amongst the offensive linemen? What would the over-under be for how many?
Okay, yeah, so we talked about this. What exactly – so a Big Mac is three buns,
yes.
Two patties?
Yes, two patties.
What is a patty like a – is it like a quarter pounder? Together.
I don't even know what a quarter pounder is. What, like two patties?
I mean,
three
a quarter
patties?
Pounder is like a quarter of a pound of meat. So like
okay. This guy, freaking Captain Obvious over here. Three.
So I looked it up. I had to look it up. The Big Mac consists of two 1.6 ounces beef patties.
Okay.
So two of those. So 45.4 grams of beef patties is what it says.
So how much, okay. How many
so pound conversion is, well, let's just, you know what, we'll let Jeff, you know, he's kind of looking at the Big Mac quarter pound comparison. Either way, let's see, we got Piper,
I think
Ben
there's
Hart.
An obvious answer. I think you put all the linemen together and you're going to have them, you're telling them what's going to happen a couple days in advance. If Ethan Piper puts his mind to it, nobody is eating more Big Macs than that man.
Wow.
And I'm not sure the over-under, maybe like seven or so.
What about Keegan?
I'm sorry, dude. I'm saying I've heard some stories of Pipe, and I've seen this man put down some ridiculous amount of food. But he's not always like he's not always eating the most. But if he wanted to, he would.
If he wanted to, so some man versus food type of stuff, you know. Yeah. So what about Turner Corcoran? Has he got it in him to down a couple, more than a couple?
I'm putting Turner's over under at 1.5.
1.5?
Wow.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
I'm just putting Turner.
That's rough.
We're not going to tell Turner anything about this part of the interview and see if he just figures it out for himself. I hope someone tweeted him for me.
Turner's probably
just out of context, so I have no idea.
Don't worry, we'll put out a poll.
Guy. Who knows?
He's a Burger King guy?
He's a Burger King guy.
I don't know if I've ever heard of someone being a Burger King guy.
One of my roommates is a Burger King guy, and only because – so there's a lot of coupons, like, in the newspaper for Burger King, I guess, and he does, like – I think are they the 4 for 4? Is that Wendy's?
Wendy's.
But Burger King has some sort of deal. Yeah, I guess they all do, but I don't know why. There's the rare breed of the Burger King guys out there. Rare breed, though, for sure. So what about the over-under? What are you putting it at? How many do you think he can get down?
I honestly don't even know if I've ate a Big Mac.
Gosh, that's
terrible. I don't even know. Have you?
I'm sure I have, somewhere along the line.
It was funny because, like, I don't know. I mean, if it's, like, pretty decent size, I bet he's, like, 7.5 or so. Jeez. Like, he's putting down the most on the O-line, no doubt. It was, like, when I was a kid, my dad was a little cheap sometimes when we'd go out to eat. If we rolled up, it was so funny. We'd be rolling up to McDonald's, and he's like, all right, you guys can order whatever you want off the dollar menu. And it's just like, oh, can I have a Big Mac? No, you can order off the dollar menu. So instead of my dad, like, maybe ordering, like, one Big Mac meal, where, what, maybe it's, like, $6, $7, he'll order, like, three McChickens, three single patty burgers and it's like a couple like apple pies. I'm like, dad, that's like $10 right there. Could have just got a regular meal, but no, we're ordering off the dollar menu because we're saving money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, that's just the motto, man. It's the mindset. Just saving money. You want to hear a funny story? My grandpa, hopefully he doesn't hear this, poor guy, but is like afraid of the drive-thru. You know, like old-fashioned type of guy. He went in the drive-thru one time. I don't know, maybe when it was first coming out. Like, he's kind of, you know, he's my grandpa. He's kind of old, you know. Goes through, spills this whole order out, like the whole family, the whole deal. And then the person on the other end goes, so what can I take for your order?
Oh, he just never let it go.
Wow.
Never went back in his entire life. Like, I don't know if that's pettiness, like determination. I don't know. But to this day, and I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, Grandpa, let's go through the drive-thru. Like, come on, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, like, we're not doing that. We're going inside. We're going inside and getting our meal. I mean, that's some grit right there, and that is why I could play center, period.
Okay.
It's in my blood.
I see the correlation.
Now, I don't know if this changes anything, but the Big Mac says that it's just a little smaller. It's like half 0.05 pounds of less meat on the Big Mac than the double quarter pounder.
Oh, does that change it?
I don't know. It could move the needle on the over under, but like,
is it
it's not going to change anything.
It doesn't seem like it's a huge
Piper's
difference.
Still my outright winner. I'll put it out there like that.
Who's give me second, third then?
Second. I don't know. I feel like I'd be up there in a category, but maybe second, Brock Bando. Brock could definitely put down some food. And then I'd probably shout out Henry, too.
Henry.
That dude
young
massive.
King, sleeper. Yeah, he is just a tank of a dude. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen a freshman just come in. I mean, he was huge from the jump.
And he's living next to a Freddy's now, and I've seen some snaps of him just destroying a Freddy's. Like, they're probably getting some business now.
Get beefy. Beef jerky, you know? My goodness.
Wow. Some great stories here in Athletes Unfiltered. Cam Jurgens' mailbag. After this, we'll go to Tweets Unfiltered. Up next. Welcome back. Second episode of Athletes Unfiltered. And we go into our favorite segment of the show, Tweets Unfiltered, looking at the most nonsensical, stupid tweets there is around the internet. And Cam, you have a pretty good one. You are itching to tell us here.
So, this is, I don't know. I'm looking back on this. I'm like, this is just incredible and hilarious at the same time. So, this, I think it was like a Friday or Saturday. But, like, you know, we're college students. We play football, but, you know, we also live a fun college life, and we're going to go out.
When did this take place again? Is this, in like, this winter?
Yeah, I think it was after the season.
Yeah,
like, during winter,
definitely after the season.
Oh, yeah.
Winter conditioning, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, January February, maybe. It's probably, like, before you even started lifting, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was, like, right after the season, but we went out to the bars with some of the boys, and we're, like, we're having a good time. And then just enjoying ourselves, like, you know, we're college students. We're gonna have fun from now on and then, you know. We're not playing football 24/7.
Yeah, as much as it is a job, like, it isn't. You know, like, we're still going to school. We're still college students. We're 18 to 22-year-olds trying to live their best life.
We have some fun.
Responsible way. Yeah. Like, you know, you have a duty and a reason you came to the school. Like, you have to play football. There's some things you got to follow up on. You don't get to live a normal college life, but... Like, come on, like, if you're of age, we're going to go to the bars every now and again. We're going to go out and have some fun with our teammates, whatever.
Yeah, and fast forward, like, wake up the next day, I'm looking at my phone. I get a notification on Twitter, and it's like, UNO Econ Club. I'm like, what? Like, what is this? Slide up on it. And it's their UNO Econ Club's main account, and they tweet at me, at Cameron Juergens, why don't you stop boozing at the bar and start working on your snaps? I'm like, is this real right now? Like, what? I'm like,
an
so
official account.
There's a dude out there running UNL Econ Club that saw me at the bar and just, you know, must have had an opinion, but, you know,
he must have been hammered is what he
must have
been.
Must have been a little too scared to just come up and say something in my face. So he must have got home that night. Before he laid to bed, he's like, oh, I got to tweet at him. I got to tweet at him. And he just must have just like, oh, I don't really care what account it is. Just, so I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah, I know we all have our the football guys have some interesting stories from the bars. You know, like one time I was just hanging out with some friends. We were just chilling kind of in the corner. Like, we weren't out on the dance floor or anything. We were just hanging out kind of by the bar. And this other group was by us, and they're kind of looking over, and, you know, things like that tend to happen, whatever. And one of the guys, or she, this one girl, like, comes up to me, and she's like, hey, like, are you Adrian? I'm like, yeah, I'm Adrian. She's like, Adrian Martinez? I'm like, yeah, that's me. So she goes back to her friends for, like, a couple seconds or whatever. And she comes back, she's like, you need to learn how to throw better. I kind of just look at her, like, almost dumbfounded, like, you really just came to me, you took time away from my friends, come over here and tell me that, like, it's some sort of joke, like, I'm supposed to laugh. I just looked at her and I was like, F- off. And she was like, what? I was like, what did you expect me to say? You just supposed to shake your hand like, wow,
thank you.
You know what, you're right. And you know what, I could learn to throw better. That's what we practice for. I'm not freaking Aaron Rodgers out here right now, but I'm trying to be. That's what I'm working to be. But if you think I need to hear that from some girl in a bar on a random Saturday night and whatever, like, what did she expect to get out of that conversation? It's kind of what I'm curious about. Right. What did the UNL Econ Club account expect to get out of that? Probably not this. They're probably getting more right now. They're getting a ton of exposure. I mean, hey, throw a follow at UNL Econ Club.
Yeah. Actually, no. Don't follow them. Unfollow them. If you are, I mean, I doubt that you are. But
I think I'm going to follow them because I am an econ minor, and I do have a lot of econ friends, you know, great professor in there. But whoever's running that account, man, we got to talk. We got to be better than that. Come
on. Unreal. I mean, I'm a science major, so I guess science.
But say, I'm
there's
like,
PD
you get
there.
A notification econ. From econ and you're a science major, you're like, what is going on here?
Bro, I
thought it was a Canvas message, and it
didn't realize it science and econ beef so much, but it
oh,
is
ton
what
of
it
beef.
Is.
Ton of beef.
Huge beef now. Whatever, but it's just like little things like that. It's like, why would this person see me and just like doesn't want to say anything? then goes home and then tweets at me, and then like, oh, it gets maybe 2 likes and then deletes it 2 days later. I'm like, nice, bro. I still saw it.
It like, was worth it.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Like, we get laughs out of it. Like, I mean, you can't take any of these Twitter stuff that seriously. Like, honestly, like, if I see something and I think it's funny, like, I'm going to laugh at it. I think one of the funny ones that came out was, like, on the video, my beef jerky branding video they made for me came out, and like there was a bunch of comments like good and bad, and like one of them was like, so he's called beef jerky now, and like if he snaps the ball over Adrian's head, can we call him air jerky? And like, I'm like, all right, damn, that's pretty funny.
That's pretty,
like,
that's pretty good.
I'm gonna laugh at that. Like, it's good.
That was clever.
It's clever.
I'll give you that.
No doubt. Appreciate it. But yeah, air let's jerky, hope baby. There's no air jerky, but we'll see.
No air jerky.
Don't want that happening.
Only on the basketball court, dude can get up. You can throw it down, right? Can you still throw it down?
Yeah, yeah, I can still dunk.
Still dunk?
Yeah, I might not be able to do as many tricks as I could in high school, but I can dunk.
This dude's all talk. He couldn't do any tricks. I wouldn't have wanted to play him. He was probably a bully in the paint.
Yeah, a little bit. Might not have been
rebounding
super
monster,
skillful, but you know,
yeah, I would have picked his pockets
after it.
Oh man,
yeah, you probably would have picked my pocket.
Oh yeah, I say this to all the guys all the time from Nebraska, kind of just to give them some shit. But I'm like, oh, my basketball team would have ran you guys. We would have just destroyed you. And they're like, no,
bro.
No,
I would
maybe.
Hope so. You're from California. Your school's huge.
Yeah, here
the
we go.
Is small. Like, what do you expect?
I don't care if you're C1 or not. Class C, whatever.
How big was your graduating class, Adrian?
Probably like 2,600.
Oh my goodness.
We were Division 1, so that's
your class was 2,600.
We'd be like Class A here.
Okay,
so we'd be in the highest division, but
that's not too bad because I think. Now some schools are reaching 2,000.
Yeah, some schools are big out there though. We were one of the smaller-ish, so we were one of the smaller-ish D1 schools.
I think my class was like 170, and that's like middle of the pack Class B. Well,
dude, so I was reffing a game out in York-ish area, and this was the first time I did it. But I was in some gym, and I looked up. I'm like, why are those people have their pictures like in the gym? Like, what is that? They don't look like basketball players. And like, no, that's a graduating class. There are 5 people up there.
Are you serious?
There were 5 people up there. And like, this high school, you just got this brand new gym. Where's the funding coming from? First off, that's awesome for you guys. Round of applause. Second off, you had a graduating class of 5. And you know what's crazy is I've met more and more people who are like, yeah, I came from small town Nebraska. Small town. And I'm like, wow, that's a hell of an experience. And like, yeah, Lincoln's big for me. And I'm like, yeah, well. Wait till you get out there some more. You know, Lincoln's fun. It's not big, though, relatively.
Like, you go out, like, Western Nebraska, and there's, like, 6-man football. Like, that's insane.
I'm telling you what.
It's entertaining, though.
So, yeah, have you guys, I take it, I know probably
I've seen some of the state games. I think it's 8-man, though. I don't know if 6-man's in Memorial.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, 6-man's out in Kearney. Yeah, but then,
I've never seen 6-man. I want to watch.
6-man is insane. I called during my freshman year of high school, junior. I call the 6-man state championship. Really? Bro, they get up in the 80s.
That's so fun. What's arena
it's
football?
Insane.
Do you know how many people are in arena football? Is it like 3 linemen? It might be 6. Maybe more. It might be 8.
I think it's 8.
Either way, yeah. I mean, that stuff is entertaining. We have a couple guys on our team who have come from 8-man football. I think Ty Hahn was an 8-man footballer.
Oh, yeah. Ty Hahn was dominant.
Is it Seth Malcolm? Is that his name? Right? Mm-hmm. Seth Malcolm?
Yeah.
New recruit? Or he came in early enrollee, 8-man football guy. I think he's from Iowa, right?
I think there's a couple.
Yeah, we have more than a few guys, and they've transitioned well, you know.
8-man football is interesting because it's either they run up an I formation and run the ball the entire time, or it's just like an aerial attack. Like, there's really is not a whole lot of balance. So it's really interesting. And, I mean, even 6-man football, you get more points for kicking it than you do going running normal play for an extra point or whatever.
That's interesting. It's probably hard to, like, do we have a guy who can kick the ball, like, actually? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I feel like in a small school like that, if you have 2 somewhat decent athletes that can catch a ball, you're probably going to dominate, you know? Mm.
If you just have a 6'4 wide receiver who has decent hands and can run a little bit, yeah, I mean, you're going to win some games.
Yeah, no, they're dominating. If the 6-man football has that dude, he can count as 2 of those guys. He could be 5-man, they'll be fine.
Tweets Unfiltered. Last segment, Cam, thank you so much for joining us. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Cam Jurgens joining us on episode 2 of Athletes Unfiltered. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, capital A-T-H Unfiltered, Instagram and Twitter, and follow our personal ones at MartinezTheQB and at Exxon Sports. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Don't worry, we're going to have more very, very soon. From Adrian Martinez, I'm Jeff Ekstrom. We'll see you next time.